The Off Base Podcast.
This is last place, Joe. There's no shame in finishing last. Anyone who listens to my commentary on this podcast, do it at your own risk.
We can really express our true opinions about who we think sucks. Mr. Timothy Lamar Lincecum.
That guy's a gas can. Terrible second half last year. Bad spring so far. I don't like him. I think he's overrated.
I don't have a lot of good data to back this up, but I'm going to say it. I think Matt Kemp's overrated.
You think Prince is a justified top 10 pick?
I don't like him. I think he's overrated.
I think Marmol is overrated.
I think Jacoby Ellsbury is overrated. I don't like Evan Longoria or David Wright. I think they're both overrated. I happen to think I have the best and brightest insights among the three of us.
And I finished in last place.
You got Scott Bodley here, the BOD. I work hard all day. Was in a foot race. Adrian, Poppy, or Usain Bolt running back.
I thought Sean Markham was your secret love child.
You know, we really did it for the fans. After Tulo, it is a barren wasteland. You might as well draft Ernie Banks or Jeff Blauser.
Well, apparently we had a slight Twitter malfunction.
I don't really consider Cabrera first baseman. If you're playing him at first base, you're an idiot. Why would someone take Votto over Cano? It blows my mind. I'm just a champion all the time.
The Big Cat.
We are three knuckleheads sitting around doing a podcast on fantasy baseball.
It took it a little while for the secret to actually get out.
Every time Wally picks somebody up, it's gold. It could be, you know, my grandma, and all of a sudden she'd be hitting like 350.
Until I see Miguel Cabrera out there with an actual frying pan on his hand, then I'll change my mind. Matt Kemp's going to win the NL MVP. If my aunt had balls, she'd be my uncle.
Sit back, enjoy the information, the knowledge. What is up? Welcome back to the Off Base Podcast, episode number 7.
We're at 7 already?
Yep, episode number 7. Wow. Somebody call Brad Pitt and Morgan Freeman, because 7's in the house.
Ricky Gervais and Steve Merchant are going down. We're going to have the best podcast out there.
We were making a run at, what is it, 320 million downloads, yeah. I think. So we're a little bit short, but we'll get there.
We only need another 320 million.
Yeah, so... What is up? So we are, first off, we're without last place Joe again. Joe is still out touring the world.
We are without the Carl Pilkington of the podcast, I guess. He should be back next week, I hope.
Yeah, he'll be back next week. He's been off doing, family vacationing and things like that, but, he still had time to post on the message board on a pretty much a daily basis. So that's always been interesting to see what he's got to say.
Yeah, I think he's taken a lot of alone time to just think about what his son, Lincecum, has done to him. I wonder if he'll, like, ground him or put him in timeout.
Well, we'll definitely get into that. I'm sure that it's been funny because he's been gone, so we haven't been able to get after him like we normally would when something like Tim Lincecum gets lit up, because normally that's a field day.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, so we're without last place Joe. It's just me and the BOD today. We're going to go through a bunch of stuff for opening week, talk a little bit about what we've seen, some of our impressions here. We're really one full week of baseball now. You know, if you get past the games in Japan and that opening day in Miami, we're basically looking at full week of baseball. So there's some things to take from this. There's also a lot of things not to take from it because people get overly excited. So we're going to sit down, break all that down, and what else we got on the table? We got a little who you got.
Yeah, we actually have an email from a celebrity that we'll be reading. So we'll save that till the end, just to make everybody listen.
There you go.
To know who the celebrity is.
Let's see who it is.
But before we begin, I want to know if you have a hangover from last night.
From last night?
Last night was National Grilled Cheese Day.
Oh, yes. It was National Grilled Cheese Day. Dude, my wife actually does some pretty nice things with grilled cheese.
I know. We were talking about that like last week, about how grilled cheese is a staple at the Combs house.
Yeah. Yeah. She'll go with like multiple cheeses, like go with provolone and cheddar or something, and then put a little oregano in there. And
oh, wow.
And then grill it up. Yeah. It's pretty good, man. It's pretty nice.
I put some hot sauce in the grilled cheese before, like sprinkle it on the cheese. Not sprinkle, but, you know. I guess
poor,
yeah, whatever, yeah. Whatever the word is. Anyway, it's pretty good. Nice little kick.
Yeah, that sounds good. I'm gonna have to give that a go. So yeah, we both enjoyed National Grilled Cheese Day. My little girls love the grilled cheese and ramen noodles. So it's a, like you said, it's a staple at our house for sure.
So speaking of last night, before we start, I had a dream about the podcast.
Oh yeah.
That me, you, and Last Place Joe were on Jay Leno about the podcast.
Wow.
And the only thing I really remember about the dream By the way, the only thing worse than hearing about someone talk about their fantasy baseball team is someone sharing a dream.
Dream about their fantasy baseball team.
So the fact that we're getting all of it into one podcast is sure is awesome. Anyway, so we're on Leno, and I don't really remember anything he said, but I remember afterwards, like a week went by, and I thought, we didn't get more downloads because of it.
You think bump.
Yeah, no bump at all. We didn't get a Jay Leno bump.
Wow. I'll tell you what, that speaks to the power of Jay Leno right there. And after the whole Conan debacle, he can't even get the off-base podcast a bump. Things are going bad.
I mean, even in my own mind, I can't get a bump.
We've actually been doing pretty good. We're still getting a few hundred downloads every week, getting people from all over the country and even outside of the country. So we definitely appreciate everybody who's listening. Keep downloading, telling your friends if you like it, all that good stuff. We love it.
Did you notice the Korean downloads went away?
Did
they? Do you think we offended them?
It's either that or maybe it was just someone on vacation in Korea.
Yeah. Maybe Kim Jong-il's son decided to halt all good podcasts.
It's like, hold on, we got to work on this long-range missile project here for a little bit.
All right, well, let's talk about the first week. What are your thoughts?
Well, it's been a pretty crazy first week, and it's super hard. We talked about it a little bit last week, but it's so hard this first month of the season not to overreact to every little thing that's going on. I mean, personally, right now, I'm in ninth place. I'm heavily entrenched in ninth place, looking up at, you know, everybody else, and it's a little frustrating. I keep looking at my team every day thinking, what in the world? How am I going to fix this? What's wrong? The reality is I just got to sit back and let things take their course for a little bit before I get too worried.
Yeah, but it still sucks. I mean, it still worries you, and you start to double think or just wonder, what should I be doing? For example, Josh Johnson, his whip is higher than some guy's ERA right now. So next start, do you start him?
I think I'm going to. I mean, we've talked about it before. When I put my team together, I knew that a lot of it hinged on Josh Johnson, right? I mean, I needed him to be we've seen in the past.
You need him to have a whip under two?
A whip under two at the very least. And so I think I'm willing to ride it out. I think I haven't even looked to see who he's pitching against his next start. So that might play into it. If he's going up against a huge offensive power, I might sit him, but to be honest, it's not like, you know, these first two starts were against great teams and he was still getting lit up. So
Right. And there's not a lot of offensive powers in the NL anyway.
Right, exactly. It's not like he's going up against the Sox or Yankees or something like that. So
Although if he was going against the Sox, he might want to start him.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, it's one of those things, it's real hard not to get over worried about it, but I think I'm still going to go at least one more start with him before I sit him down. Just I have enough confidence in him. I mean, I made the pick thinking he was going to be a stud, and I've got to stick with that. You know, I can't let two stars deter me from it.
Well, there's been quite a few stars, aces, that have been crappy. Besides Johnson, there's Lincecum, there's Dan Heron, there's CeCe. Who am I missing? Josh Beckett has been terrible. Gallardo got killed.
Latos. There's been a ton of guys.
Matt Cain got killed in his first start.
Right, and we're talking one, two starts for all these guys right now.
What do? You have to keep pitching them, right? I don't know if I pitch Josh Beckett because he's terrible, but someone like Dan Heron, Benjamin pitched him against Minnesota yesterday. You think he would do fine against Minnesota?
Right. I mean, that's one of those things that you just, all you can do is take it because it looks like a great matchup. You expect the guy to be a stud. He's probably your ace, maybe your second pitcher. I mean, of that list, most of those guys, I would say Heron, Sabathia, maybe Gallardo. Those are really the three guys that are for sure starts for me. Lincecum, of course. He's another guy. Those are for sure starts no matter who they're playing, especially, you know, even though it's been bad this first little bit, you still got to run them out there. And then when you get to that next tier, guys, we're talking about, you know, the Josh Johnsons, the Josh Becketts, Matt Latos. Those are guys who you might sit down and think a little bit more about sitting them for a start or two until it seems like they get it right. Because I think for the most part, every guy on this list is going to put it back together. It may be their command's a little bit off or whatever. Maybe they're going through dead arm right now. And I think they're going to get it back together. It's just a matter of how long does that take. And so, I mean, the biggest fear for me is I sit Josh Johnson down and then he pitches
a gem.
Right, he pitches a gem. And I need those innings.
Yeah.
But right now, I mean, maybe it's a better idea to sit him down and wait till I know that he's going to be right until he gets things worked out.
Now, what do you do with guys like other crappy guys like Liriano or Scherzer who have been brutal? I mean, you could drop him, and no one's going to pick up Liriano right now because he's so terrible. But yet, if you sit him on the bench, he might turn it around. What do you do there?
That's going to depend a lot on the makeup of your roster, I think, and what you need. I mean, with it being so early, I definitely wouldn't recommend anyone going out and making mass changes to their roster, you know. So if I'm a Liriano owner, I'm still going to hold on to him for two more starts, just to sit down and see what he's going to do. It's worth it to me because
great upside.
There's so much upside there, and his spring was so good. But on the flip side, he's been super bad for the next little while. So he's one of those guys that he is on that cut line for me, and you're going to sit down and say, okay, let's take a look at him. Let's see the next two starts, maybe three starts. Give him, you know, a full month to say, all right, where's he at? What has he got? And if he hasn't put it together by then he's gone. But I definitely wouldn't be starting him the next couple starts because he's a guy that we know is so volatile. He could be terrible, easy.
Right. I mean, it's a roller coaster even when he is pitching well.
Right.
He hasn't done it in a while, so.
Other than what? The no-hitter last year, right?
Yeah, yeah. Which I think was on the bench. Let's talk about some bad hitters. If you go to Yahoo, if you go to our league page, which is tinyurl.com/offbasepodcastleague.
Yep. tinyurl.com/offbasepodcastleague. You can go there. You can view our leagues. You can see the standings. You can see the teams. You can check out what everybody's doing. You can see kind of what we're talking about and get a better feel for it.
So if you go to the players search thing, you can go to all taken players. And what I've done is I've done that, and then I've ranked them backwards. So you can see the worst players.
The worst players that are on someone's team.
And there's about 10 guys that are actually worse than guys that are on the DL that are owned. So for example, Kevin Youkilis is the worst player rostered. He's 2 for 20. He's ranked 1202 right now.
2 for 20, 0 runs, 0 homers, 0 RBIs.
So Yahoo is essentially saying owning Chase Utley is better than having Kevin Youkilis.
That has got to be brutal, especially when a guy like Kevin Youkilis, you took him as your starting third baseman. You've probably run him out there every day for a week now. And granted, it's only a week, so guys are going to go through a stretch of 2 for 20, and it looks way worse than it actually is. But it's hard to stomach it right now when you sit down and look at it and say, hey, these 10 guys are worse than not playing anybody. My team would be better if I had sat my whole team than played this guy.
There's some other notables on here that are worse than injury players. Mike Napoli, Michael Bourne. Huh, I didn't see that one coming. Drew Stubbs, Justin Upton.
Justin Upton is probably the biggest name on that list right there.
Alexi Ramirez, Gabby Sanchez, Ike Davis, just to name a few. I'd like to point out that Alex Gordon is not worse than those guys anymore. Thank heavens.
Well, yeah, because Alex Gordon lit my man up the other day, that bomb.
That's right. Yeah. And I was going to sit him, but I got to the computer too late. So I had to take the bomb. You got to love that. So with these guys that suck, same thing with the pitchers. Do you play Kevin Youkilis? For example, today, Teixeira always has a slow start. I'm sitting him today because I don't want to sit through this again. So, sit him. I'm playing Michael Young. There's no reason to go through 0-for-4s for a week or a month.
Right. Well, I think that goes into, I mean, when you're talking about a guy like Teixeira, there's a past history to look at. Everyone knows Teixeira is a slow starter, right? And so you can actually sit down and maybe make a little more educated guess on him and say, okay, I'm going to sit him down and wait for him to get hot. But like a guy like Kevin Youkilis, I don't think that there's ever been really any history to indicate that he's a slow starter. And so, I think maybe you do sit him down for a little bit here, but there's two things to take in consideration with that. First, third base is super shallow. It's not like you're going to be putting whoever your backup third baseman is, he's not going to be a stud. And second, Youkilis could get it going at any time. So, I mean, I don't know. What's the value of right now? There's more value in playing nobody. So I guess anyone you put in there is better than what you're getting, but I wouldn't be surprised if Youkilis went out today and went 3 for 4.
Right, right. That's true. There's a few guys on here, in my mind, I would start no matter what, even though they're slumping. Justin Upton, obviously. Mike Napoli. Other than that, I would have no problem benching them for hot guys like Ike Davis, Gabby Sanchez, Alexi Ramirez, Logan Morrison. I have Tabata. only to get steals, and he has one, and he sucks, and I hate that guy. Drew Stubbs, I have no problem benching those guys.
Right, no, I think you can bench all those guys other than the ones, you know, at the very top. Of course, you're not going to sit Justin Upton.
And no.
You're nuts if you do. I mean, it's a bad week, but he's going to put it together. That dude is a legit MVP-type talent, so I think that's a guy you run out there every day no matter what.
I agree. Now, we're not all negative on the show. We like to talk about positive things. So let's talk about some, what are some positives from the baseball season so far?
Man, I don't, the Nats, they've been a pretty good little story so far.
Yeah, they have.
Yeah.
Brad Lidge is doing his best to destroy it, but they have been positive.
Oh, man, the whole closer situation everywhere seems like it's going nuts. But yeah, the Nats, they've been pretty nice, especially, I mean, you consider they got Morse is still gone. We just found out. I was just bitching to Bodley right before this podcast started that he's now out indefinitely. 2 days ago, he was supposed to be getting ready to start the home opener today, and now he is out indefinitely. So I'm sitting with a guy on my bench that I was hoping to get 30 bombs from, and now, you know, I'm hoping to get him back by the All-Star break, it sounds like. But, I mean, the Nats have been super good so far this first week, and I think – I don't know if it's a huge surprise if you actually sit down and look at the make of that roster, but they've got some pretty good pitching, and I think, you know, they're maybe flying under the radar a little bit.
Well, you might feel down about Michael Morse, but remember, he's providing more value than Kevin Youkilis would. What are some other players that stick out? Obviously, I'm going to tout David Fries.
Oh, man. David Fries, the guy who, what, two podcasts ago, we were questioning if he was even a good pick, right?
Yeah, no kidding. And now he's third on the player rater on Yahoo. How awesome is that? Some other names that jump out that aren't guys you would expect like Kemp are Willingham, Carlos Pena, Austin Jackson, Omar Infante, Chris Young. Man, I hated that Chris Young pick. And he's hitting 364.
He's not going to hit 364, no. though.
No.
He's not going to hit 264.
No.
So, I mean, that just goes to show you.
But right while you can, man.
No, I agree. And he's a guy who's got good pop. He steals bases. He's just not going to be consistent every month. So
now some of these guys that are high on the list, they're going to stay hot all season and they're going to be good value picks.
Right. Well, and this goes to, you know, Bleacher Creature made a post a little while ago talking about Melky Cabrera last year, right? How Melky Cabrera outranked a bunch of big name players on the player rater list. And no one would have expected. I think he probably sat on the waiver wire most of the season because no one likes Melky Cabrera. Right. And it goes to the value of, hey, play the stats, not the names, right? But, so, I mean, that goes to the question, who are these guys? Who are the guys that don't have big names right now that are going to be able to put together a pretty solid season based on this first week, what we've seen?
Well, let's go through some names and let's go one by one. And you say if you think they'll be a good contributor for your team. David Fries. Yeah. I think he'll be fine.
I think as long as he can stay healthy, you're looking at a guy who's probably a top 10 third baseman.
Oh, at least. He could be top 5.
Yeah.
I mean, if he hits 25 plus, which he might.
Well, I think he's got 95 RBIs. He's got legit power.
Yeah.
He's in a good spot in that order. It's a pretty decent lineup, you know, with Holiday and Berkman around him. So yeah, I mean, he's a good pick, and I think, you know, you're going to get way more value than what you drafted him as.
Oh,
so,
sure.
I mean, sure. There's definitely something there.
I drafted him as my water boy, for heaven's sakes. Josh Willingham and Carlos Pena. Both are hitting lights out, 429 for Pena right now and 409 for Willingham.
Dude, I love Willingham. Willingham's a guy who was on my draft board going into the draft, and I didn't end up taking him because I've got a bunch of outfielders. I didn't feel like I had any room left. But I love him. I think I was a little worried with him going to Minnesota. I thought that the pop might hurt his home run total a little bit. When you consider he hit that many home runs in Oakland last year, it's not like Oakland's a hitter's park. So I really like Willingham. I think he's legit. I think, you know, he was a great pickup for anybody who's got him on their team, and I would definitely ride with him all season. Worst case scenario, what, he's your fourth outfielder. You play him, you know, on off days for other guys. He's going to keep hitting, you know.
Yeah,
he's got good power. He's not going to hurt you in average. He's a good fourth outfielder. Probably he's probably good enough to be a third outfielder for most people.
Do you believe in Carlos Pena?
No. Well, I guess it depends what you're looking for. If you're looking for just power, then go ahead and take him. We know he's going to hit bombs, especially in Tropicana. You know,
he'll hit 30, I think.
Yeah, I think he'll hit 30. But what's he hitting right now? You said he's hitting 370 something.
Yeah, well, no, he's hitting 429.
429, yeah.
He's not Ted Williams.
He's not going to – you can cut that number in half, and you're going to be lucky for him to hit that. So
yeah.
It just comes down to what you need. And this early, you probably don't know what you need, so I don't know if I'm going to roll with Carlos Pena all that often.
Serge has Austin Jackson hitting 435. I think Austin Jackson is bound to bounce back this year. He's not going to hit 435, but I think he'll be a nice little player. What do you think?
Yeah, I like him. I mean, good power speed combo, you know. I still think he's going to hit 260, maybe.
I mean, I think he'd be a great third outfielder. And considering Clint's outfield, it would be nice for him.
Right, right. No, and that would be good. I mean, getting bases like that late, if you can get a power speed combo like Clint did late in the draft, I mean, that's always a value, so.
Austin Jackson hit 293 in 2010, 249 in 2011, but, four bombs in 2010, 10 in 2011, and about the same stolen bases. I think if you, get an average there, if he hits 275 and hits 15 bombs and has 25 stolen bases, take that all day.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's definitely worth it. I mean, and he's in a great lineup too, so.
Yeah. Do you believe in Omar Infante?
No, I don't believe in him at the level he's performing right now.
Well, he's not going to hit three bombs every week like he has.
He's not going to hit three bombs every month.
No, that's true. He was hot for me about a year and a half ago, so he'll go on these streaks where he hits like 330. But, you know, I don't expect that to go all year.
Yeah, I think a lot of these guys are kind of riding while they're hot, but as soon as you start to see that, the first sign of downturn, you might want to get away from them.
Let's talk about two more surprises here. We'll move on. What do you think about Jordan Schaefer? He had three bags the other night.
Dude, I don't know. Jordan Schaefer's a guy who's never stolen more than 20 bases in a season. So
doesn't mean he can't.
It doesn't mean he can't, but I don't know why.
He's never really had the playing time, though. Has he? Has he been playing all year? I'm going to look at
how many
games he's played.
How many at-bats did he have last year? You tell me.
Last year he had 106 at-bats, and he had seven bags. That's just for Houston. He played in 82 games for Atlanta and Houston last year and had 22 stolen bases. So, I don't know. I think he'd be a nice little sleeper. Clint already has him.
Right. Well, the thing is, he stole three bases in one game, so everyone's on him all of a sudden. I mean, I think maybe you get 20 steals out of him, but I don't know if he's going to give you anything else. You can go get 20 steals on the waiver wire all day, though. There's steals just sitting out there like crazy.
Yeah.
I bet there's 10 guys who are going to steal 30 bases sitting on the waiver wire.
I have a feeling that I will have a bold prediction about someone on the waiver wire and stolen bases.
Okay.
Just a little foreshadowing for the podcast.
There you go.
One other guy I want to talk about is your homie, Cespedes. I don't know if I'm saying that right.
No.
Sorry to the Cespedes clan. What do you think?
I think the power's legit, for sure. I think he's Carlos Pena, basically. But he's got a little speed. He's going to steal some bases, too. Stole third the other night, you know. I mean, I like the power-speed combo, but, dude, he strikes out a lot. I think the more the league gets to see a swing and find the holes, the average is going to start to go down. Because right now, what's he hitting? He's hitting over 300, right?
No, it's gone down. He's hitting 273 now.
273. I mean, I honestly think he's a 220 guy around there. Because he strike. I mean, he last time I looked, he had 22 at-bats and 11 strikeouts.
So in our league, is he worth having if he's, let's say he hits 30 bombs this year and gets 10 stolen bases, but he hits 220? Is there a spot for him?
I think so. I don't know. That's a good question. 30 bombs is a lot. There's not a lot of people hitting 30 bombs.
Especially a 30-10 combo.
Right. And so it's one of those things. He's a fourth outfielder, and that's essentially what he is for me. He's a guy I throw in, you know, when I need to fill a spot, but I don't know. I don't know what to make of him. If he can hit even 250, his value goes way up. You know what I mean? If he's not going to be a drag on your batting average. And the difference between 250 and 220 is huge, because at 220, he's dragging you down.
Yeah.
You've got to have a guy hitting 310 just to make up for him. If he's hitting 250, you know, it's not going to make that huge a dent in your overall team batting average. So, I don't know. I'm definitely holding on to him and want to see. I think the power's legit. I mean, if you saw that first bomb he hit in Oakland, dude, that thing
was massive.
That thing was crushed. But I think the K's are going to be super high too. So it's just a matter of seeing what that average is kind of going to, you know, even out as once the league gets a little more used to him and kind of finds those holes in his swing.
Right.
I feel like, to be honest, I feel like he's kind of like Pedro Serrano, man. Like, if you throw him a curveball or something, like, you can't hit it, but you throw him a fastball, I think, you know, he's going to crush it. So I have a feeling you're going to start to figure something out like that.
That's awesome. So what do you think about closers? They've gone crazy this first week. Everybody's getting lit.
Is getting lit. I mean, we could go through the list. I've got two closers on my team that are getting lit. Sergio Santos has been brutal. He's what? Blown 2 out of 3 chances, given up multiple runs, and it's super hard to sit and stomach that. Especially this early with closers. A guy like for me, Sergio Santos, who I don't feel like is really that entrenched in the job. It's so funny to watch the waiver wire and watch people just going and everyone during the game, as soon as a closer starts to give up 2 hits in a row or whatever, somebody goes and picks up his backup, just hoping to vulture some saves away, you know, in the next week or two.
Vengeance did that with Francisco Cordero. I was watching the game and I thought, I wonder who backs up Sergio Santos. And I looked and sure enough, Vengeance already had him in the middle of the game. You saw the same thing.
Dude, not only did I see the same thing, I was on my phone on the app. I went to add Cordero. I go to the player thing where it says add, hit add. It takes you to the next thing where it basically confirms you want to add. The first page, he was available. On the second page, Vengeance had picked him up.
Wow.
So basically, I was one click behind on picking him up. And it looks like Santos is, you know, they gave him another shot the next day. So it looks like he's going to keep the job for a little bit. But that's how it is. I mean, chasing saves is going to happen, especially this early with closers getting lit up like crazy.
Right. Wally and Argy all told me that they did the same thing. They looked and he was already picked up. I noticed Vengeance picked up Sergio Romo yesterday because Brian Wilson apparently sucks. My ERA in my bench has to be like 330. It's terrible. Every one of those idiots can't freaking throw a strike and get an out.
Well, dude, it's not just you. There's been a lot of teams that are going through that right now. A lot of closers getting lit up. And the funny thing is, it's such a dangerous game to start chasing saves like this and go pick up the next guy. Even if he gets the job, it may be the worst thing that ever happened to you, because if he's not a guy that actually has good stuff, he's just going to go out there and get lit, put up a huge ERA, give you a terrible whip, and what, maybe get you 1 or 2 saves before he turns around and gives the job back or gives it to somebody else.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've been burned by adding a guy who was just about to get the closer job and watching him just absolutely light on fire on the mound. You know, and it's one of those things. The flip side of that is you land a guy like the White Sox closer, and all of a sudden you may have just walked into 30 saves
off
the waiver wire.
That's right.
So, I mean, it's one of those things you've got to go after, and I think it's worth the risk. But, man, it can be scary when some of those guys blow up on you.
But you have to take that risk to get a closer.
Well, and it's one of those things. You always say this. Saves are one of the things where there's a set amount, and you can't just go out and find those on the waiver wire. You know, you can actually, there's a monopoly on saves. And if you need saves, you've either got to try and add them when somebody loses their job, which is what everyone's doing now, or you've got to trade for them. That's it. They're not just going to come into the league. Where stolen bases, you can go and add a 30 stolen base guy. I mean, we talked about in our league how Joe is trying to monopolize the save market or the steals market. And it seems like he's going to try and, you know, run up a big total in steals and then turn around and trade a steals guy. But it's way harder than trading a closer because I can go and pick up a 30 steal guy off the waiver wire right now. So the value of that guy Joe's trying to trade to me is not nearly as great as a closer who I can't get those saves.
Exactly.
The only option is to go and take this risk on someone who's going to get the job who may or may not be good. And, you know, it's 50-50 at best.
Well, and the thing about trading for speed, you see this all the time where these guys will run like crazy and then they'll just stop.
Oh. Talk to me about Jacoby Ellsbury, man. He did not run very much last year in the second half. And I traded for him for the steals, and it killed me. I mean, he was good everywhere else, don't get me wrong. But it hurt that he was not stealing bases, because that's what I traded for him. And yet you see guys that go through streaks like that. So, I don't know. It's hard to say.
Now, before we get to our email, let's just talk about the standings in the league for just a second. Give a little shout-out here. Show is number one with 71.5. He's the new guy.
The new guy. The guy that everyone told would have no chance to win the league.
Yeah, said everyone had growing pains. Well, he's showing us. So, second place is Right Field Batting Ninth, 66.5. Bleacher Creatures is 64. The Mighty Passages, me, is 62.5. And just to talk about last place, Clint is at 31. Yesterday afternoon, he was at 19.5. That's hard to do.
It's early, dude. It's just, it's only a week.
But, you know, it's only a week, but even if you're in first place for just a week, it's still awesome.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. Now, it's super nice to be atop the standings, no matter when it is.
Even though it's early, I'd rather be fourth where I'm at than 10th.
Right. Well, yeah, of course you would. But let me ask you this. Do you think that you're not going to have one week during the course of the season that your team's going to be the worst team?
Oh, totally.
I mean, that's essentially what's happening right now, is for one given week, Clint had the worst team in the league. That doesn't mean he has the worst team overall.
I agree.
Just this week.
Was it 2 years ago when I won the league and I was dead last in June?
Right. We were talking about that. I mean, it was June, right? And you were still at the bottom of the league.
I was worse than Serge right now at 31. I had mid-20s. So anything can change.
Right. Now, I mean, there's a lot that can happen. And, you know, it's only a week. Don't go toughy roads. just because things look bleak right now, you don't need to worry too much.
Well, if Clint, if you do want to panic, I'm here for you. All right. So if you want to trade me Pujols or any of the other guys you got, like, you know, you got my name. You can look up my number. We'll make a deal.
All right. So what do you want to go through the email next? Is that what
Let's do the email.
Okay. Let's check out the email.
This is, we got this email. One of the many we received. When I say many, I mean one. It's from a guy by the name of Norm Peterson, and he says, "Good afternoon, everybody. What happened to who you got? Give the people what they want." And then he signed it. Cheers, Norm. So are we going to be getting emails from George Costanza or Alf or Marty Funkhauser?
Yeah, very possibly. I don't really know.
I would love to get an email from Alf. Just because it's Alf. I mean, how many people get emails from aliens?
You know, it would be quite special to get that. But hey, Norm Peterson from Cheers is listening to the podcast.
That's awesome.
That's all you can ask for, man.
I wonder if he's sharing with Cliff. By the way, Norm Peterson's email is hungryheifernorm@hotmail.com. Hungry Heifer, if you remember, I think was the restaurant he used to always go eat at.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I remember one time I was in Boston, I actually looked up Hungry Heifer to see if it existed, and it didn't. I was not happy. Anyway, back to his email. He wants to play Who You Got. So let's do a little Who You Got. You got some names?
Yeah, yeah. So here, I'll kick it off real quick. The first one I got, your man David Freese.
Oh, boy.
Or the oft-injured David Wright.
David Freese.
You're taking David Freese over David Wright? Without even questioning it?
Without even questioning it, simply because David Freese, I was going to say, can be healthy, but he has an injured history. But yet, I feel like David Freese will play more games than David Wright. I mean, the wind can blow a different direction, and David Wright could get an eye infection.
Right, well, I mean, it's one of those things, is right now we know David Wright's hurt. He's got the broken pinky, but it doesn't sound like he's going to be out for too long. I mean, do you see another DL stint in the future for David Wright?
Well, who saw a broken pinky coming? I mean, who saw a torso sprain or whatever he had in pre
torso sprain? Is that the medical term for that?
Look it up. You don't have to tell us if it's wrong. But I guess what I'm saying is anything can happen. He could carry some deer meat and fall down the stairs.
Clint Barma style.
Yeah. Now, I got one that's similar to that. David Freese or A-Rod.
Or A-Rod. This early in the season, I'm still taking A-Rod.
What about David Freese or Aramis Ramirez?
I think David Freese over Aramis Ramirez. And Aramis Ramirez is my third baseman, mind you. So, yeah, I would take Freese over him in a heartbeat.
Freese over you?
Yeah. Well, you know my opinion on you.
Yeah. Would you rather have Uke or Wright?
I would rather have Wright. There's a lot of risk there, but when he plays, he's still good. I mean, you know.
Yeah, yeah. No, he'll fill up the stat sheet if he plays. We got some other?
Yeah, yeah. Next one I got, we're going pitching. This is based off the hot start. Chad Billingsley or Jeremy Hellickson?
Man, I hated Billingsley coming in the draft, and I hate Chad Billingsley.
Dude, Jack Ben Lingzicki wasn't on anyone's draft board going into the draft.
He was terrible.
There was no one that was sitting there even in round 25 going, should I take Chad Billingsley or, you know, John Doe? It didn't matter. Yeah. He was not on anyone's board. He has been terrible. And all of a sudden he comes out, has two pretty good starts, and now he's owned in the league. You know, there's a lot of people chasing after this guy all of a sudden.
He gets K's.
He does get K's, but I don't know. That's why I'm asking you. Jeremy Hellickson, this is a guy who was amazing last year. Everyone is saying he's going to fall back to earth because, you know, his peripheral stats showed that he was lucky last year. So who would you rather have? Chad Billingsley, who was terrible last year and looks great this year, or Jeremy Hellickson?
I think I'd rather go with Hellickson. And by the way, we're watching an A-Rod just hit a bomb. He has a bomb and a freaking stolen base.
Didn't I just say take A-Rod?
Yeah. Anyway, I think I'd rather go Hellickson. Because Billingsley looks great, but, man, he could just take a nosedive at any second.
Dude, I'm not buying the Chad Billingsley at all. Even back when 2-3 years ago when Billingsley was okay, he would still have games when he would blow up. And I do not trust that he's going to be legit for the whole season. I mean, maybe you're going to get another 2-3 good starts out of him, but sooner or later, he's going to go out there and just start lighting the mound on fire. Yeah. I guarantee it.
Now, speaking of lighting the mound on fire, would you rather have Billingsley or Beckett?
I'll take Beckett still. I'm not buying into the Billingsley hype at all. At all.
What about Billingsley or Jeff Samardzija? He had a good start.
I'll take Billingsley over Samardzija.
I think so too.
I don't know enough about Samardzija. It sounds like, I mean, from seeing the relief appearances that I've seen from him, I was not sold. So I don't know how he's going to transit as a starter.
People compare him to Brandon Morrow, where he'll have an awesome start and have great Ks, and then the next start will just be brutal.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know enough about it to say, honestly.
Would you have Liriano or Samardzija?
I think I'd rather have Samardzija. I'd rather take the risk on Samardzija than Liriano.
Yeah.
Liriano's just burned people too many times. I mean, how many times are people going to go back to that well? He was great 4 years ago. He's been brutal ever since. Absolutely brutal. I don't know.
I'm staying away.
Yeah.
Got any more?
Yeah. All right. So here's one for you, because you're finding yourself in a little bit of a shortstop conundrum. Derek Jeter or Rafael Furcal?
Oh, man. Well, Jeter's hitting like 900 right now. I think I'd rather go Jeter simply because Jeter will play. He doesn't have an injury history and he could easily get 100 runs. Or Furcal, he could be injured in just like David Wright can, but also Furcal just can suck.
The Furcal thing is based mostly on injury though, right? Because I mean, if you look at what both of those guys can do and you look at, you know, runs, home runs, but then you add in steals. I mean, they're basically the same across the board, except Furcal's going to steal bases, and Derek Jeter's not. Aren't they?
Yeah, but, like, Furcal, he's gone in stretches where he's hitting, like, 210. You know what I mean? It's not like Jeter can suck, but he will at least hit 250 when he's sucking. You know what I'm saying? And, like, for example, last year, he only hit 255 when he played for the Cardinals. And he only had 4 stolen bases, by the way. And then when he played for the Dodgers, he hit an awesome .97.
Still, I don't know. It's close for me. I love the stolen base potential for Cole. I think he's a guy who could go out and steal legit 30, 40 bases this year.
Yeah. He could if he's healthy. I got one. Austin Jackson or Nick Swisher?
I think I'd take Austin Jackson just for the speed potential.
Yeah, I think it's close, but with the speed, I guess it depends like what you said. If you need speed, go Austin Jackson, but power, go Swisher.
Well, I mean, what's the difference in home runs going to be between those two? I mean, Swisher's going to hit, what, 5 more bombs?
I guess, yeah.
I mean, I would say Swisher hits 25 and Austin Jackson hits 20.
But Swisher's definitely more consistent.
Oh, there's no doubt about that, but Swisher's going to steal 0 bases and Austin Jackson's going to steal 25.
Yeah. I got one for you.
And Swisher just K'd while we're watching this.
That's awesome. Would you rather have Carlos Beltran or Corey Hart? Talk about making you choose between two children.
Dude, I would choose Corey Hart. I love Corey Hart.
Is it close?
I'm 100% sold on Corey Hart. It's not even really close for me. I think Corey Hart in the middle of that Brewers lineup now, hitting right behind Braun, I love him. I think he's going to have 100 RBIs this year. I think he's going to hit 30 bombs. I think he's going to be right around 280, you know, average-wise. Hopefully he steals a few bases like he used to, which with the coming off knee surgery, I don't see that happening anytime soon. But I think he's a legit guy. I honestly think he's hitting 30 bombs this year.
Would you take Beltran over Victorino?
That's a close one. I'm higher on Victorino than most people, but I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
I just don't trust Beltran's health, and he was so bad in San Francisco. But he's playing great now.
Dude, Beltran was on my team last year.
Then he traded me when he freaking sucked.
He was on my team last year while he was good, and then I traded him to you. So I still have a good taste in my mouth about it, and you've got a bad taste. So
yeah.
I don't know. But I like Victorino a lot more than other guys. So I think I might go Victorino. Just once again, it goes back to that speed. I mean, he's got a little more speed potential than Beltran does. So. You know, I like that possibility. I love the idea of having a guy who's going to go, you know, 2020 as often as I can.
You got any more? I got one more.
All right, now I'm out.
Would you rather take Carlos Marmol or Alfredo Acevedo?
I think you got to go Marmol just for the case. Acevedo has not proven to be a guy who can get outs.
Well, Carlos Marmol really hasn't proven he can get guys out this year either.
This year, at least in the past, he has.
By the way, Acevedo does have outs. He has three. He's pitched one inning, two games where he had an infinity.
I know, but I'm saying you sit down and you look at the potential ERA, potential whip between those two. I don't know that there's a huge gap. Acevedo was great last year, but the closer role is completely different. How many times have we seen a guy go from setup to closer and he turns into crap? I mean, there's some guys who just can't handle that position. For whatever reason, they can't come in and close things down. And, I mean, that's, you know, we see it all the time. That's why there's all these rotation going on with closers right now, is they're trying to find a guy who can actually come in and handle that pressure.
But I think Marmol's on the way out. So, well, here's a better question. Who's going to have more saves this year, Marmol or Acevedo?
I think Acevedo probably has more saves. So who am I taking? I'm still taking Marmol. I'll give up maybe 4 or 5 saves, which is what I think is the difference, and take an additional 50 Ks or something. I mean, Marmol strikes people out like crazy.
By the way, if Acevedo sucks again, I guess how many more games is Bobby Valentine going to give him until he's done?
Dude, the better question is, who do they put in other than Acevedo? The only other solution is Daniel Bard, and you're going to have to then find another starter.
What about Melanson?
He's terrible, dude. Watching him, he's terrible. The fact that Bobby V has shown he has zero confidence in him makes me think that he's not even the next guy in line. I wouldn't be surprised if it was Franklin Morales, to be quite honest. And Morales has been okay, but he wasn't a great closer when he got a chance with the Rockies, so I don't know why that would change, you know, in the AL East.
It was interesting, if you think about it, where Bailey got hurt and Melanson's closed before and Bobby V didn't even go to him.
That's what I'm saying, is Bobby V seems to have zero confidence in Melanson. He hasn't even looked at him to take over that role, as far as I'm concerned. And so I wouldn't be surprised. I would bet the next guy in line is Franklin Morales. And if Morales were to blow up, they would probably pull Bard out of the rotation and, you know.
I think they could switch roles with Padilla and Acevedo and make Acevedo the long relief guy and Padilla could be the closer.
Oh, I hope not.
I mean,
as a Red Sox fan, I hope that's not the case.
No, but I mean, if desperate times calls for desperate measures, didn't he close a few games in LA a few years ago?
Mike, yeah, he's right? Got a very small sample size, but I don't know. I mean, that there's not a lot of options. That's why Acevedo still has the job after looking like he did the first two games. But he didn't get an out in two games. You know, that's the only reason he still has a job, I think, is because they don't even know what the hell they're doing.
Are they even going to go 500? They can't freaking score a run, and they can't even close out a game.
I keep telling myself, me and the BOD are both pretty big Sox fans, you know, so, you know, outside of fantasy, this is the other thing we really talk about, but I'm super concerned, man, because that pitching rotation is not right, and they started really bad last year, so I've got that hope, oh, you know, it's just a slow start again like last year, but when I look at the rotation, outside of Lester, I don't have confidence in anybody that they're throwing out there.
At least last year, Beckett had a good year. And I don't know if Beckett's going to have a good year.
That's the problem, is Beckett was decent last year, and I'm with you. I don't know how good Beckett's going to be this year.
Right. Would any of these guys start? I guess these guys would start. Beckett would start somewhere else, but.
Beckett would start. Buchholz would start. Barber would still probably start most places as a 4 or 5.
They're just brutal.
Yeah, well, I think more than anything, the frustration comes from that they're not hitting right now. And when you're watching a baseball team and they consistently are getting out on just when, especially when the guy up there is not a good pitcher, it gets frustrating. But that happens. Teams go through slumps and whatever. Like I said, it's only a week, so we'll see.
You got any more? Who you got?
I got a couple sneezes.
Yeah, we got
coming.
A couple sneezes coming.
Nah, dude, I'm all tapped out on who you got.
All right, well, let's go to the favorite portion of the show, the bold predictions.
Bold predictions.
Do you want to go first or want me to?
Yeah, okay. Here's my first bold prediction.
Oh, boy.
Tell me how this one sits for you. I predict that this weekend, Three Stooges will overtake Hunger Games as number one in the box office.
That's a bold prediction. Can I admit to you that I actually, when I first saw the commercial for it, I've never watched Three Stooges in my life. Well, I have, and I just didn't find it funny. But the part where the bell fell on the nun, and one of them said, "I don't recognize the nun, but her face rings a bell." I died at that. That is so stupid. But every other preview I've seen is terrible.
Yeah, no, it does not look very good. But I think that there's enough people out there who love the Three Stooges. There's like a cult type following that it's gonna and. Add that to the fact that it's the fourth week for the Hunger Games.
But people love the Hunger Games. People love children violence. Dude, you know what I mean?
Dude, you're talking to the wrong cat. I read all the books. I read the books in like a day. I love them.
I've never read the books, and I haven't seen the movie. So my comments about it should be taken with that knowledge.
So that's my first bold prediction. Three Stooges overtakes Hunger Games this weekend at the box office.
The real question is, when we're deciding if we want to go to a movie, and Three Stooges is the only one left to see. Will we go see Three Stooges?
Dude, I'm not opposed to seeing it. It doesn't look amazing by any stretch.
We've seen some bad movies, and that might be on the list. What are the other ones you got?
My other bold prediction is... Dude, I wrote it down here, and I can't read it. Oh, here we go. That Curtis Granderson finishes outside of the top 100 on the play rater for the season.
Wow. You just don't think he... Will he lose the speed? Lose the bombs?
I don't think he's going to hit nearly as many bombs as he did last year. I think the average is going to go down. We were talking just a little bit ago that they're moving him down to sixth against lefties. So, I mean, those are all things that are going to affect his stats. If you know, every time a lefty's up, all of a sudden he's hitting sixth, his RBI is going to go down. The runs scored are going to go down. There's no one behind them driving him in. And I don't think that the power is going to be nearly what it was last year. So I think he's going to fall outside the top 100.
Joe Girardi seems to be a good manager, but I don't want to question him. But Granderson did real well hitting second. So keep him there.
I don't understand. I mean, he's looking at numbers that I don't know, but I'm sure
he's got that note. For it. He's got that binder with all of his little stats.
Right.
I got a bold prediction.
Okay.
Juan Pierre will have 35 stolen bases this year.
Juan Pierre, 35 stolen bases. Well, as a fourth outfielder?
He will find time and he will run and get those stolen bases.
So who's he taking playing time from?
I think there'll be some injuries that'll happen and something like that.
Who's going to get injured? And you better not say Hunter Pence.
Victorino could get hurt.
All right.
Hunter Pence might get hurt. Well, here's the deal so far. Pierre, he has 2 stolen bases already and 14 at-bats. He's only played in 4 games. It's Juan Pierre-esque, but if he's playing, he's going to run.
How many bases did Juan Pierre steal last year?
Last year, he stole 27. The year before, 68. 68!
I know, but last year, he was bad last year.
He was bad. Well, he really wasn't too bad. He just didn't run as much. I don't know why. I guess the better bowl prediction would have been Juan Pierre will have more stolen bases than his age. Because he's born in 77, so that 34? I guess if he gets 34 before his birthday in August, he'll have 34. So 35, yeah.
Yeah, 35.
That's my bold prediction.
I can see it.
The point is, there are so many guys in the waiver wire that can get stolen bases.
I agree. I've already said, 3 times on this podcast?
Yeah.
There's 10 guys at least who are going to steal 30 bases sitting on the waiver wire. By the way, don't get overly hyped on the number of bases someone's stolen just based on this first week. Because we're sitting there watching the Yankee game while we do this, and Raul Albanez just came to the plate. He's got 2 stolen bases. I don't think he's going to steal 30. So, you know, let's temper our opinions here a little bit.
If I'm the Yankees, I'm telling Raul Albanez not to run, because you need him to stay healthy all year. Because if you need him again, he'll have to go up there, like you say, with his walker and hit.
Dude, speaking of nice little sleepers to add, Raul Albanez, that's a guy that he's probably available in most leagues. Dude, he could be a good little fourth, fifth outfielder for somebody, you know. Give you a little bit of pop. He's going to have some RBIs.
He'll probably get at least 20 home runs and probably 80 RBIs.
Right. He's going to get tons of at-bats. I mean, he's pretty much their everyday DH. The only time he's not is when they're sitting A-Rod or Jeter or whoever to give him a little bit of, you know, a little bit of a rest. So,
would you rather have Austin Jackson or Raul Albanez?
Well, is Raul Albanez going to steal 2 bases every week? I don't know.
I'd rather have Austin Jackson.
Yeah, I think I'd have Jackson too, but it's pretty close. Point being, Raul Albanez is on the waiver wire. Austin Jackson isn't. So,
yeah. You got any more bold predictions?
No, that's it for me, man.
I'm bolded out.
All right. Well, I think we're pretty much up on our time for today. So next week we will be back with the last place Joe, the full contingent back in full effect.
Right. And feel free to email us with any questions. The email is offbasepodcast@gmail.com. Our Twitter is offbasepodcast. The tiny URL to our league is tinyurl.com/offbasepodcastleague.
Yep. Check it out, and we will be back next week.